time once again for Community Forum, and we're very lucky to have with us live in the studios once again, Jerry Paulette. Jerry Paulette is co-founder and executive director of Heart of America Northwest, our region's largest citizen group, focusing on cleanup at the Hanford Nuclear Reservation. He chairs the Hanford Advisory Board's committee overseeing USDOE's Hanford's budgets, management, and contracts. He also has been serving on the board of the Alliance for Nuclear Accountability and the Washington Coalition for Open Government. And he is the Washington State Representative for the 46th District. Jerry, thank you very much for coming and spending time with us this morning.
Thank you for having me this morning, Mike.
So start out, tell us briefly a little bit more about Heart of America Northwest.
We're a 16,000 member citizens group, folks just like listeners who are concerned about making sure that the most contaminated area in the Northwest and in the nation gets cleaned up. Hanford, protect the Columbia River, and work for nuclear safety. We led the effort to stop Hanford from being used as a national radioactive waste dump for the last decade, and we're still unfortunately having to fight that battle, which is why you asked me to come on this morning.
So there is a series of meetings, one of which will be happening in Seattle this coming Tuesday, that the Department of Energy, I believe, is putting on.
It's the Washington Department of Ecology. Okay. They have authority over all the hazardous chemical wastes at Hanford, and they are many years overdue to issue a permit to regulate the dangerous, toxic, chemical, explosive, flammable wastes that are mixed with radioactive wastes, and give great, great urgency to the cleanup, because it's one thing to have radioactive waste. It's another thing to have it mixed with something that's not only toxic, but explosive. So this permit is the nation's largest and most complex hazardous waste permit. It covers everything from high-level nuclear waste tanks that are leaking or storage of 68,000 drums of waste to 40 miles of unlined ditches. And most important, I believe, for the public of the Northwest, this is our one hook and best hook to stop the use of Hanford as a national radioactive hazardous waste dump, which the Energy Department is just bent on doing.
And didn't we have a vote on this a ways back?
We did. And in 2004, we led the coalition to have the state of Washington stop the use of Hanford as a national radioactive waste dump, and to end the use of these unlined ditches for dumping waste. The Energy Department was forced to stop using the ditches, but the court said that you could not change our law to stop dumping more waste at Hanford except through this hazardous waste permit. That vote happened in 2004. We've been waiting 8 years for this permit to come up and have a public comment period, so that we could insist that it be amended to say you cannot dump any more waste in the ground when you already have so much waste there that the groundwater will be contaminated over and over again for 10,000 years.
So this is really public's chance to say, we voted on this once, now you need to follow the law that we voted for.
That is exactly right, Mike. Our message is the public spoke loud and clear. In fact, with the highest vote total in state history up to that point in time, to say clean up before you dump any more waste, which would essentially mean never dump any more waste at Hanford. The governor, Governor Gregoire, promised that the permit would reflect this principle. That was in 2005. Then again in 2008, she wrote citizens saying it would happen. And the Department of Ecology, which is in charge of the permit, has written such a weak-kneed permit that you'd be hard-pressed to figure out when they say, oh, yeah, we're trying to reflect that commitment. You'd be really hard-pressed to figure out how. And so we need a very large turnout on Tuesday night in Seattle at the University Heights Center.
All right, and so it's going to be Department of Ecology people that are there and not DOE? Will they be represented at all?
There may be people from the Energy Department. The Energy Department has already adopted a plan to use Hanford as a national radioactive waste dump. That's why we did the initiative in 2004. You know, and thousands of people out there gathered signatures and campaigned for it. The Energy Department formally adopted a plan to import about 17,000 truckloads of radioactive and radioactive mixed waste to go into landfills at Hanford. The landfills will leak even if they're lined. The liners only last 30 to 50 years. And they have a second proposal that they plan to issue after Election Day, of course. They've already done the EIS in one hearing in the Northwest, and this is to import extremely radioactive hazardous waste to Hanford, 12,000 truckloads. If people know, have family in Portland or Spokane, the trucks are very dangerous. They're going to go through downtown Portland and Spokane. And we are talking about adding as much radioactivity to Hanford soil as we are trying to clean up from those leaky high-level nuclear waste tanks. So it's kind of a ludicrous thing. You can't drain the swamp when you're putting more water in. That's what's happening here. You can't clean up when you're adding as much radioactivity to the soil as you're trying to get out of it.
And they haven't really even figured out how to clean up what's already there.
Now, in fact, one of the big issues in this permit is in terms of the cleanup obligations. The Energy Department's cleanup plan is what I like to call cover-up, not cleanup. And it's, of course, a pun because they also like to refuse to disclose any of the information and engage in many a cover-up. And so this is a literal and figurative cover-up where the Energy Department wants to take those high-level nuclear waste tanks and leave 1% of the waste behind, which is an immense amount of radiation, and cover them with dirt instead of cleaning up the contamination in the soil. It's not rocket science to remove the soil and clean it up. It's expensive, but it's not rocket science. But here's the worst part of this permit. Picture 40 miles of freeway, I-5. Let's say I-5, three lanes going north from Seattle all the way to Marysville. Three lanes. Now picture those three lanes replaced with a hole 50 feet deep all the way from Seattle to Marysville and fill it with unknown drums and boxes of radioactive and hazardous waste. That's what they've got at Hanford, 40 miles of unlined ditches. And instead of cleaning it up, the Energy Department doesn't even want to look what's in it. They just want to cover it with dirt and walk away. This permit is supposed to be our chance to say you've got to find out what's in them and remove wastes. But the state of Washington has caved horribly on this. And the state of Washington is saying we're only going to regulate a couple tenths of miles out of the 40 miles of ditches. And we're not going to require monitoring around it. How do you regulate 15 or 50 yards of a half mile long ditch that's all mixed together and you don't know what's in it? It is an abomination and a real abuse of the regulatory process. And it shows how the Department of Ecology's nuclear waste program is really captured by the Energy Department to say that we're going to let the Energy Department get away with just covering these ditches with dirt instead of cleaning them up. They will contaminate the Columbia River. They will contaminate the groundwater. And, of course, in 30 years or 50 years, someone's going to build a foundation right through the middle of one of these trenches and stir up plutonium and uranium and deadly chemicals and poison people. You've got to clean it up. It's the only responsible thing to do. And it's not even that expensive to go in and remove wastes from trenches and treat the wastes properly. Anyone else in the country would be required to do this.
And it's not Washington State that's picking up the bill on this anyway. So why is the Department of Ecology, I mean, we're paying our 50th of it, but why is the Department of Ecology not getting things done on this?
It's a head-scratcher, Mike. Why, indeed, when cleanup is great for the economy, cleanup is jobs, cleanup is federal money, cleanup is creating new environmental industry and technology in the state of Washington, why would you say it's okay to just cover it with dirt? Now, one clue to this is that the state of Washington has some skin in this game. The state of Washington actually operates an unlined, leaking, commercial radioactive waste dump in the center of Hanford. And if they force the Energy Department to clean up its unlined ditches, they probably won't allow, should not, and everyone will note the hypocrisy of continuing to allow dumping an unlined hole in the ground at Hanford by the state of Washington for commercial nuclear reactor wastes. And that's what's happening. The unlined ditch and trenches in the center of Hanford for the commercial radioactive waste dump, which the state of Washington leases from the Energy Department, operates for the commercial nuclear industry, it is leaking, and the projections from that are so high that uranium alone is projected to cause fatal cancers in 2% to 5% of the Native American children who will be using the groundwater under their treaty rights. The Yakima, Umatilla Nations have treaty rights to live there and use the groundwater as soon as we declare this cleaned up. And it's genocide to say something's cleaned up when you know there's a 2 to 5% fatal cancer risk from using the groundwater, which is what's going to happen. And so Heart of America Northwest and the Yakima Nation have sued the state of Washington over their effort to try to abandon and just cover with dirt this massive landfill in the center of Hanford. It pales in comparison, though, compared to 40 miles of ditches. And if the state of Washington forces the Energy Department to clean up those 40 miles of unlined leaking ditches, it really has to do the same thing for its own leaking unlined ditch, and that's going to get some people in the nuclear industry upset.
What is the status of that lawsuit that you just mentioned?
Heart of America Northwest and the Yakima Nation are in Yakima Superior Court over this lawsuit, and we have stopped them from just putting the dirt cover on for now. And then we also discovered that the state of Washington Department of Ecology, just like the Energy Department does, hid public records from us, massive amounts of public records, including their chief hydrogeologist writing an email to her bosses saying, this is not, quote, not sound science, unquote, that the Department of Ecology is using in trying to just put a dirt cover on it, and also covered up extensive additional contamination that was discovered leaking from the site, and covered up that their proposal to justify putting the dirt cover on top used the wrong standards to try to justify it. So we have this massive amount of records that, in fact, is in front of Thurston County Superior Court. We had the hearing on this Public Records Act case on last Friday. And the state of Washington began the hearing by saying, I believe the exact words, we messed up in covering up and not disclosing the existence of these records.
So what will happen if you win the lawsuit?
Well, we got the records as a result of suing, and our next step is to use those records in the other court case to show that the contamination is much worse and that the plan to just cover unlined trenches with dirt does not work. And just common sense, you have chemicals that are spreading out that are powerful solvents that are moving out from the trenches. And of course, they're carrying other chemicals with them. That's why they chose to use those solvents, because they were really good at in the industrial processes in moving radioactive chemicals. And of course, they're really good at moving them through the soil and into the groundwater. And we've got to stop it. And the public can help stop this on Tuesday night. Because one of the other things is that the state of Washington does not want its own waste dump subject to this hazardous waste permit. But the law says it's supposed to be. Hazardous wastes were dumped in the online trench that the state operates, and it's another part of the puzzle, and we want people to show up and say, clean up, not cover up, and don't use Hanford as a national hazardous radioactive waste dump. And the state is the authority to do these things.
So what would you like to see done with that 40 miles of toxic waste? Can any of that be processed through the vitrification plant? Actually,
you don't need that. The vitrification plant that you refer to is this massive, the most complex chemical nuclear processing facility ever built, and it's a mere $8 billion over budget and 10 years behind schedule, as is everything with the Energy Department, right? But this is material that can be processed at commercial hazardous waste sites, facilities. So what we need to have happen is have it dug up, treated to remove the chemical hazard, and then you encapsulate the remaining radioactive wastes, and then it should go to a deep underground repository, which, of course, the nation doesn't have. But at least then it's in a stable form that can be stored safely. We also have sitting at Hanford 68,000 drums of unknown wastes. The Energy Department illegally called them all dry debris and without actually knowing what was in them. And the last 2 years, three of the drums have leaked. Now, it's a very serious legal violation to falsely claim that something is dry waste and store it for 18 to 20 years. And, of course, it leaked, and at least one worker was exposed. The Energy Department, for one of these containers, tried to claim that it was rainwater, not hazardous waste. And it's pretty interesting rainwater. It had cadmium and other heavy metals and PCBs. And radiation. So it was pretty weird rainwater that was on the ground. This was from a cement box that was stored outside. No one in this country gets to store hazardous wastes outside for more than 90 days. But the Energy Department has been doing it for years, and Washington State has turned a blind eye to it. And this permit and these hearings are our chance to say, open up your eyes, hold them accountable.
And this was part of the 68, these leaks are part of the 68,000?
Right, 68,000
drums.
Are
these above ground?
These are in metal sheds and in just outside the metal sheds, they parked cement boxes filled with radioactive chemical wastes. They don't even know what's in them. And so two of the drums leaked inside the metal shed. Again, they were supposed to be dry. The law says you're not allowed to store waste for over a year without getting it treated. They've stored these wastes for 18 to 20 or more years without any penalty. And we're saying to the state of Washington, you have to impose a very strict compliance schedule to get those wastes out of there. The last time we had an explosion at Hanford, the plutonium finishing plant blew up in 1997. 12 workers had serious health effects. They were caught outside and exposed to the chemicals and plutonium that blew the roof off of the building, literally. The building had been shut for a couple of years. Heart of America Northwest, I had written a letter to the state of Washington saying, you need to order them under our hazardous waste law to remove the chemicals from the plant. The state of Washington actually sent that letter. The Energy Department ignored it, and chemical wastes were illegally stored, including a chemical that self-concentrates. And when it self-concentrates after a certain period of time, it reaches a concentration that becomes explosive and explodes on its own. And that's what happened. And it blew the roof off the building, exposing 12 people. This is an example of what happens when you don't know what's in drums of hazardous waste and you allow them to be illegally stored. No one else gets away with this in the country. And yet, we let the federal government do it at Hanford.
About 9 minutes left. Briefly talk about wells that are used to monitor there at Hanford. I assume that they, around this trench, this 40-mile trench, they have wells to let us know when it's leaking and where it's going?
Well, the law says they're supposed to have hundreds of wells around these 40 miles of trenches. Turns out that you've got large areas of these trenches that have one or two wells only for like 300 acres or 50 acres instead of having dozens of wells. And they're groundwater monitoring wells, so you're supposed to detect when contamination reaches the groundwater. But most of the wells, believe it or not, don't reach groundwater. So you've got literally the dry well. Well, a groundwater monitoring well that doesn't actually reach the groundwater is not a groundwater monitoring well. It doesn't work. And a lot of these wells that they claim they have don't actually monitor anything. Now, what we're asking for is something called soil column monitoring. In addition, because by the time the waste reaches the groundwater, it's already contaminating the groundwater. So you want, and there's technology out there, it's very simple, it's used all over the country, where you put in soil column monitoring boreholes around the trench, and you have an early detection system. The state should be requiring this, but isn't. And, of course, it's really, it's a Band-Aid, but it's a really important Band-Aid to know when is waste coming out of these trenches.
And again, these are items that would be picked up by on the DOE budget, correct?
That's right. The Federal Energy Department would pay for this, and it's good for our economy. It's good for, of course, preserving the Columbia River. It's vital to protect the Columbia River and the health of future generations who will be using this site. We're talking about an area that's half the size of the state of Rhode Island. We're not talking about a little site here. Half the size of the state of Rhode Island, the Columbia River runs through Hanford for 50 miles. So picture 50 miles of Puget Sound shoreline. It's immense, and we have to protect it.
So speaking of monitors and actually expanding the scope to the state of Washington, we obviously just had recently the one-year anniversary of the disaster at Fukushima. And I know a lot of people had concerns about radiation from that explosion reaching here. And it appeared from my readings that the monitoring system for the state was highly inadequate. It's only a few monitors at the most. And citizens getting access to that info was very problematic.
Right. And the state health department really misled the public. So they were saying there is no level detected of concern, no health standard being violated. And when we finally got a hold of the records again through the Freedom of Information Act, we found that radioactive iodine that came down in April, May of last year was as high as 130 times the drinking water standard. Now, that's pretty high, and that's a health standard. And it was really a lie for our state and other state agencies around the country. We were very close ties. Our state health department is very close ties to nuclear industry. They help operate that commercial radioactive waste dump, as I mentioned. And they were saying there's no level of health concern, but there are two things that they were not telling you. 130 times the drinking water standard in the rain, and more dangerous and longer-term concern was that there were radioactive particles, particularly cesium, that were coming over, and these are long-lived, and once they deposit, they stay deposited, unlike radioactive iodine, which had a half-life of 8 days. So We're still very concerned about it. And our next concern, and something I'm hoping to have to bring to the legislature to get the state to act on, is the radioactive and toxic flotsam that is heading towards our beaches. And we need to be prepared for it, and no one is talking about this. We need to protect our Washington coastline from the radioactive and toxic waste, and it's massive, that is heading towards us. And we've got a year to prepare and do something about it. We need to be ready to go out and be testing and actually cleaning up before it reaches the beaches. And secondly, we need to be protecting the shellfish beds and our seafood industry from this. And it's going to take a large-scale effort, and everyone's pretending that everything's hunky-dory. It's not. And that's even without another earthquake happening at Fukushima, which would be a frightening thing because we've got a spent fuel pool sitting on top of a damaged reactor, the roof is blown off, and essentially they've got jury rigging for the cooling system. And in the event of a mild earthquake, that fuel is going to be exposed, go critical, and catch fire. Senator Wyden from Oregon recently toured it and sounded the alarm, and we are at grave risk. There is much more risk from that one pool of highly radioactive fuel than all the releases to date from Fukushima. That's pretty darn huge.
Yeah, I heard there was like 1,200 or 1,700 fuel rods that are could melt down.
I don't know the number, but we're talking about a scale of disaster that's larger than Chernobyl in terms of you've got more than the equivalent of one full core of a reactor sitting in that pool.
So what kind of leverage do you have and or do citizens have in terms of getting more monitoring here in the state?
Well, you know, we as citizens, as citizen activist and organizer, you know, what my job is to get out there and get people to weigh in, urge their legislators to do something. And now I'm a legislator and representing the 46th district, and as the only environmental group leader in the state legislature, whether it's fighting for getting the toxic chemicals and carcinogens out of children's bedding and shampoos, or getting the health department and the State Department of Ecology mobilized to stop and think about how we're going to protect our coastline from what's coming from Fukushima, my job is to try to make sure that we have the legislation and the budget to do the right thing. And of course, budget's a big issue. We need to, realistically, we can't fund education, healthcare, and do the things we're supposed to do without making sure we make our tax system more fair, close some of those massive loopholes, and make it more progressive, and so that Washington State is not the state where a poor family or working family pays more in local and state taxes than they would in any other state of the country.
All right, we are pretty much out of time. We're talking with Jerry Paulette. He is Executive Director at Heart of America Northwest and Washington State Legislative Representative for the 46th District. Jerry, again, can you tell us about the meeting coming up on Tuesday?
Tuesday night, at University Heights Center on University Way Northeast at 50th Street in the University District at 7 p.m. is this very important public hearing. It's our last best chance to stop the use of Hanford as a national radioactive hazardous waste dump. At 6:15, there'll be a pre-hearing workshop, and people can prepare for the meetings or just send in your own comments using both a video and a short citizen's guide posted online at www.hoanw.org. That's the initials for Heart of America Northwest, hoanw.org. And there's a five-minute video to help people prepare and a citizen's guide to help you prepare and send in comments or prepare for the hearing. Please show up.
All right. Well, with that, we're unfortunately out of time. I want to thank you once again for coming in and spending time with us.
Thanks for doing this, Mike. It's a great service to the community. I appreciate it.